Hi friends, and welcome to the Universal Sisterhood podcast. We're hoping to create a place where women can delve deeper, lift their gaze higher, live freer, laugh louder, smile brighter, and be the authentic woman she was designed to be. Every human heart has been created to be seen, known, and loved. So this is the place where women can share their stories. Welcome to episode 115. Did you know that the Sisters of Life are coming to Sydney next week? So to get us really excited for their pending visit, I got to speak with Sister Mary Grace and Sister Veritas. Their tour kicks off on the 18th of April at 6:30 at St. Mary's Cathedral with a talk followed by the Bishop's Blend Dinner for Young Professionals with Bishop Richard Umbers. There's also a retreat day for the University of Notre Dame on the 19th. There is a women's event which they have generously allowed me to host at Tangara School for Girls on the 21st of April, followed by a Fidelis Young Adult Evening at the ACU Strathfield campus on the 24th of April. Do yourself a favour and get yourself with a friend, drag somebody along. You won't have to drag them because they are so lovely. They are a gift to the church. They are vibrant, they're young, they're full of life, full of hope, and their message is the age-old message of Christ, but the way they deliver it with such joy and authenticity, it is hard not to fall in love with him all over again. They so beautifully show the face of Christ in today's world where there is so much division and isolation and sadness, really. These women are walking face of Christ today, and for yourself, go and check them out. I'll leave all the links in the show notes. Get yourself along to one of their events because they are well worth listening to. I'm going to leave it there. You're going to listen to Sister Veritas and Sister Mary Grace. So have a wonderful week and see you at some of the events next week. So excited. I don't only have one beautiful sister of life, I have two. So before we dive into the conversation, can I ask you please to tell us who you are and what your life looks like right now?
Definitely, that's a good question. Yeah. Things seem to come better in two. So it's my name is Sister Mary Grace, and I've got one of my sisters and friends here. Mm-hmm.
Sister Veritas. Great to be with you.
Yeah. And we're both currently living in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So we're two of five in the local mission here. And our whole mission is what we call our evangelization mission, which is really just about proclaiming the name of Jesus and witnessing to him, changing our lives, changing the people that we serve, their lives. Whether we're on campuses, we're at retreats, we're at conferences, just seeing the reality and the power of Jesus actually having an impact, a radical impact on everyone's life. So it's a gift to be able to speak and even come to Australia and talk about that. So we're mm-hmm. super excited.
Yeah. Not as excited as South Aussies. You'll be on terra firma, and we're very grateful. The land of the Holy Spirit, the great Southern land.
Wow.
Let's go.
I love that.
Yeah. It is. He moves down here in a different way and a different pace. I've been to Denver. We went there a few years ago, and I had a very profound experience in Denver, actually.
Oh, that's right. I remember you saying, I didn't realize it was Denver. Now I'm remembering. Wow.
Yeah, it was Denver. Cool. And I remember leaving a bottle of water in the car and going back the next morning to get it, and I could not drink it because it was frozen solid. It gets cold.
Yeah.
Is it still cold?
You know, Denver isn't the worst of American states when it comes to weather like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Denver is kind of like, what would you call it? I mean, I would refer it to the Sunshine State. It literally, we have like two cloudy days.
Yeah, there's more sun in Colorado than there is in Florida. But I mean, the winters get cold. Sometimes it's like mild. I'm from Canada, so
I'm talking to the wrong person
here. No, but it's when it freezes in the car, it's significant. It was
freezing. Yeah, I think it was like minus, I think it got down to minus 15
degrees Celsius. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And being an Aussie, it's like, we're just not equipped for cold weather. Like I told the sisters, like I had no idea I was such a wimp. When it comes to winter, my body can't even cope with it. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I tell you, the Canadians and Americans, you guys are tough skin.
Well, but I can't cope with heat. So I'm...
Yeah, we all balance out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're coming to Australia in the most perfect time of year because at the moment it is so beautiful, like really beautiful. 24 degrees, blue skies, sunny.
Wow, that's nice.
Way to go, Holy
can't
Spirit.
Wait.
Cool in the mornings, cool at night. Yeah, really beautiful. I always, because Easter, it's our Easter season. So, you know, Northern Hemisphere, it's always new life and daffodils and spring blossoms. But here it's a different kind of comfort or beauty. You know, we have the leaves changing. We have it, you know, life's not so hot and claustrophobic. It has an air, a breath about it that's really life-giving, even though it's autumn, fall for you. But I would love to talk about, we've just come through Easter and I was on my jog this morning and I was thinking about what we were, you know, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to talk about today? And he kept reminding me of the Easter Vigil. And we had four new Catholics come into the church at Easter. And this is the last, I think the last 5 years, there have been no new Catholics in the church in this particular parish.
Oh, wow.
Not one. And we had, and the priest gate in before the do you call them catechumens?
Yeah.
Before they received the sacraments, he was saying how, you know, there was he's a new priest, his father, Chris Del Rosario, he was a priest from our schools. And he's new to the parish and it took a little bit for the community to get behind him. And he realized in December last year that there were no catechumens. And he in his prayer, he went to our Lord and he said, look, it really sucks. Like, this isn't, you know, this is really sad. Very blunt with our Lord. And I love that way when people can speak really authentically. Like a real relationship with our Lord. And he said, it really sucks. And he said, you know, what are you going to do about this? And he went home, he went to his email a few hours later and there was an email from a complete stranger who said, oh, hi, Father, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I'm really thinking about joining the Catholic Church. What do I do about it? So that was one in the space of 3 hours or something. He said the next day he got another email from a complete stranger. Anyway, being four adults, none of them knew each other, from all different walks of life. And here they were at Easter becoming Catholics. Well, I was a mess. I was a blubbering mess. I don't know any of them. Just the gift of witness and hope that the Easter Vigil brings. Like seeing people decide, especially in a post-Christian world that we live in, that they want to follow Christ. And not only that, they want to become a Catholic. Like that's, you know, we're kind of like at the bottom of the bottom, you know, in the hierarchy of worldly society today. It's just so life-giving. And I think the same is for you, like seeing sisters in habits. You're such a sign of hope for us. And I'd love to hear your experience, I suppose, because you say you go to universities and things to spread the word. Do you hand out? I heard you saying once, sister, that you're handing out stickers and people don't want stickers. And what a sign of hope you are for people. Do people see that, or is it just me in my Catholic bubble that I see you as a sign of hope?
No, it's a fascinating reality, but it's just so beautiful you to articulate how much where our hearts are created to be inspired, you know, and we need to witness each other living the faith. It's actually crucial. Like we can't do this. We can't we can't believe on our own. Like, God has not created us to just live these solitary lives of faith that kind of bump up against each other. We actually depend on each other in the church, just as you and I that have grown up in the church, four new catechumens coming in is like the most hopeful, tear-jerking experience because it's beautiful and actually necessary to see one another say yes to Jesus, especially in times of difficulty and suffering, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think, especially like on campus, you might have more recent stories too, but
I mean, because we're on campus and, you know, mm-hmm. there's just such a thirst, like we all need to know we're good.
Yes.
That our lives matter, that we're sacred, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm important to the Lord, that no one can replace me, you know?
Yeah.
So we go on campuses and we do a lot of other evangelization in other places, but handing out these stickers that really just, it's like a truth nugget, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were on one campus and mm-hmm. we gave one sticker that said to one young man, it said, created by God, irreplaceable. And so we gave it to him. We said, this is about your goodness. This is to remind you of who you are and that no one can replace you in God's heart or the world. And he took the sticker and he was like kind of hopeful and just kind of sad. And he said, one day, maybe I'll believe that, you know, but I think there's so many people just stuck in and feeling, you know, replaceable or not good. Or mm-hmm. so just to proclaim that truth to people is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I work in an all girls school and I hear a lot and I see a lot of girls who just feel not good enough. Like it just seems to be the overarching feeling of a, you know, even from a very young age, like maybe you four, so they're probably 10, not even, maybe 9, 10, just this mm-hmm. feeling of I'm not good enough, I can't do that, very limited beliefs about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we break that cycle? How do we tell them and have them believe that they are good enough?
Mm-hmm. It's a million.
A mother of four daughters here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
two sons. I'm not saying it misses the boys, but you can see it very evident in girls.
And I think it's, I think just your own heart's, honestly, articulation and your own heart's desire for them to know that actually there's so much more to you than what you do and your grades and what you can prove. And even just your own motherly experience of like, I don't love you because you perform well. I don't appreciate you because because of anything that you've earned. Like just to actually, first and foremost, it's just so beautiful, Jessica, to hear your own heart express, like, I want so much. Not only them to know this truth, but my heart breaks when I see that they live out of something that's not true. And we know that that's not right. We're not created for that. That kind of thinking of that I'm only good enough if I have certain things to show for it is crippling. Like young girls are not becoming more themselves in that. They're not free. They're not confident. So it's like, what are we missing? What truth has the culture where are we at so that something has ceased being spoken to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is there something about our identity that we're just not speaking to enough? What is that truth, Jesus?
Yeah.
And I mean, we can look to our own hearts and lives too. And like, I mean, honestly, it gets back to the essential core reality of who we are. Like why the heck are we here? You know? And I don't want to like bring it too idealistic, but at the end of the day, each one of us is here because we're the result of God's dream of each one of us. You know, we don't create our own lives. We're not dependent on our own making. It's like every single one of us is here because we are loved and not just created. And then God stands back and looks at us and lets go. No, the very fact that our heart takes another beat is because literally God's life and love sustains us. And that is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And these truths, I think, in all honesty, we've either gotten used to or we've gotten oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a new need to speak boldly and simply of the power of God's life and love that is real, alive, and we're desperate for it. And we're created for it, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's an invitation to honestly go back to these fundamental truths and really stake our lives in them.
Mm-hmm. I've been really convicted lately about being known, about the woman at the well. when she's there and Jesus is sitting there and he tells her everything that he knows everything about her, and he still loves her.
Yeah. Like,
he knows everything and he still loves her. Do we really know that? Like, that's, do I know that? Do I know he knows everything about me and yet he still loves me? Like, he knows me.
Yes.
Better than I even know myself. And I find it hard to love myself sometimes.
Yes.
Like, just that reality is very, very reassuring.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I one prayer that's just really powerful to pray, really simple, is, Jesus, show me how you see me. Yeah. Show me how you look, you know, and like, it's like inviting his gaze of love, you know, and because we're made for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, it's mm-hmm. so, it's not a Protestant idea. That's just a Christian Catholic idea, you know, from the beginning. That's what we're made for, this mm-hmm. personal encounter of love, this relationship of love where I can be totally myself with him. I can share my heart, yeah. the guts of my heart, the reality of my heart. And I am met with love and he holds me in love and I'm in this relationship of love. And so I think kind of two ways to like live mm-hmm. in this is like, ask him, Jesus, show me how you see me. Mm-hmm. Show me how you love me, you know, and let him reveal to you your own goodness. And then also too, like we can really act as mirrors for each other, you know, mm-hmm. reflecting back to each other our own goodness. And mm-hmm. Because as human persons, just even physiologically, we actually need that. We need someone. Pope Benedict has this great quote, which I'm going to paraphrase, but basically like we need someone to affirm our very being by love, for us to fully kind of exist as a human person. Mm-hmm. And so we need that gaze of love from the Lord, but also from each other. And we can do that for each other. And that's a real act of friendship, you know, to be mm-hmm. able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most powerful things too, we see, Jessica, on like our retreats is like, we can talk these truths like, yeah, to town, but unless we actually experience Jesus loving us in a place that we didn't think we were worthy, mm-hmm. it's very hard to believe to that. Now, all of us are sinners. We all have a history and we're all struggling in different ways to live the life that God's calling us to. But to really open our hearts to notice in our heart, where am I reserved in my relationship with Jesus? Like, what am I holding back, or where do I feel that I haven't let God in, or do I have places of shame or regret or struggle? Like, Jesus isn't afraid of these places. In fact, this is the exact, like, these are the exact things Jesus came for. That's why his name is Savior. Like, Jesus means Savior. But he's a gentleman and he waits on us to give him permission to meet us in the places that we actually need saving. And I think a lot of the time our culture is always telling us, bring your best foot forward, you know? And a priest would always say that I loved, he said, you know, God is about bringing the poor foot forward. Like, he's not afraid of where we fail and where we struggle. Actually, it's where we fail and where we struggle and where we need that God comes closest. So that's where it's like, just an invitation to let Jesus actually save us, to not be afraid to actually, take the words of Jesus seriously, take the passion seriously, and let his saving, merciful love actually meet us where we are, rather than trying to be somewhere that God will love us, letting him love us where we actually are.
Mm. I heard, I think it was on the Hallow app over Lent, the Lent challenge. I don't know whether you did it. You probably didn't, but it was very beautiful. And I think it was on this where somebody said, I think it was Father Mike Schmidt said that Jesus, you know, that the angry mob weren't just a mob to Jesus. He knew every single one of them and he knew them by name and he knew everything about them. And he still, you know, walked to the cross and he still loved them and he still forgave them, even though they were, you know, doing the most horrific things to him. And I think we don't mm-hmm. actually think about that. We just think, oh, it was an angry crowd and they were yelling and, you know, they're mean people. No, they were us. They were us. And he knows them and he's doing it again for them. Like, that's the reality of that is mind-boggling. Do we take enough time to stop and think about that?
Yes. Yeah.
I know I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It never gets old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really true. And it's like, the tenderness of his love, you know, like I remember for a long time in my life, like I, I was like so terrified of like messing up or making Jesus angry, or just like this fear of condemnation and rejection. And it was really paralyzing, honestly. It was really, really terrible. And living just always like, mm-hmm. oh, I can never prove myself. I can never be enough, you know? And yep. really, really terrible, paralyzing fear, honestly. And just really experiencing, like, it really, like, fear lies to you. It lies to you about who you are and about who the Lord is. And actually, as you're saying, like, he sees you. There's mm-hmm. nothing that we can do that will make him stop loving us. And it's actually our weaknesses, our sins, our failures. And St. Therese talks about this, but they can actually mm-hmm. become a springboard for us into the heart of Jesus, not an obstacle, you know? Mm-hmm. So actually, there's that great quote mm-hmm. from Bishop Martinez, who talks about how mm-hmm. the best credentials to receiving the Holy Spirit is poverty, is need, is weakness, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I've got all those things, poverty, need, weakness, sin, check all the boxes, like, perfect. Yeah. I have my credentials to receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost was. Mm-hmm. Jesus, God giving himself to poor, frightened men, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So it's just very consoling. Like, the Lord's in the business of giving himself to us in the mess.
I love that.
That thing about the you're not enough, feeling that you've got to do his will, like, do I know it? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it properly? Are you angry with me? I lived all of that quite viscerally. And I was just going back through, I've got, as you will probably do, have thousands of notebooks that you've scribbled things on over the years. And I was looking for something just before, and I came across something I'd written, and it says here, and I'm just going to share it, because this was to my 18-year-old self. I felt like I had no freedom to love you. I was forced to love you. Now I know that the lack of freedom is not love. God, you never intended this for me. Thank you for showing me that. So that lack of freedom was not, it's not love. He doesn't want slaves. He wants lovers. He wants people that love him freely, not doing things out of being obedient. And until we know that, I think it's very, as you said, polarizing. You know, you can't move in freedom.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Because true obedience needs to be free, right?
Otherwise, it's not.
It's compulsion or it's obligation. Yeah. Like, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Or even just the profundity that God wants a relationship with us. Mm. He doesn't relate to humanity as a whole. He does, but what he's invested is knowing each one of us uniquely, you know, and every single one of us by virtue of being created in his image and likeness are literally within your heart and mind is reserved a space for God that no one else in the world can give. Like, there's a profound sacredness to every human heart that is so unique and so irreplaceable that the world is like lacking without each one of us. And every one of us have the capacity to say yes to God in a space in the world that no one else can. You know, it's really, when you begin to think of it, it's like, yeah, it's awe-striking. It's like such a wonder. It's like, and it's not dependent on my effort, but it does depend on my permission. And that's how much God respects us. He actually awaits our permission. He reverences us enough to wait on us to let him in.
It's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to let him, like, he'll knock. He'll just tap. He won't even really bang. He'll just gently tap forever until you actually let him in. I think that is so, it's a real love story. Like, it's so beautiful that there's no forcing. And I think that's where, as parents, we kind of have to stand back a bit and just say, just keep tapping on her heart, or just keep tapping on his heart. No, don't stop. Not that he needs us to say that, but that's more consoling for the parent, you know. Just don't stop tapping on her heart. Open it. And like, she'll open it just a crack, and you'll do the rest, maybe.
That is so powerful. I've always marveled at that, you know. I think there's a stereotype in the culture that thinks, you know, children are just entrusted to parents until they move out. And I just think that's the biggest undercut of parents in history, that God knew and chose parents to be spiritual and spiritual mothers and fathers till the day they enter heaven. And whether a child stays at home or a child leaves at the first opportunity it can, that God knew that you would be the mother and the intercessor of that daughter or that son of yours, even when they left the home, and that he would actually choose to depend on your prayers to intercede for them. That parenthood actually, it's forever. Mothers are forever. Fathers are forever. And sometimes I think because of the widening of love, a mother and a father's heart can actually only grow stronger as the child leaves. It's like the heart widens more. Mm-hmm. But just in that too, it's really interesting, Jessica, you just make me think of like, we're walking with this, I mean, we're constantly hearing testimonies of people just really coming, the Lord really breaking through in people's lives. And it's fascinating to me just how patient and creative Jesus is. Mm-hmm. I've marveled on it recently, how much when people come to these conversions, like a quick thought is to think, oh, I wish I knew him earlier, or this happened at this time. But as they begin to like enter into a relationship with Jesus, what they notice as they look back is how present God was all through their life. Mm-hmm. And in particular, in unique ways that they couldn't necessarily have said it at the time, as they come to know the Lord Jesus, what he begins to reveal in mysterious ways is his persistent and particular pursuit of them at every moment of their life. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it's just been such a word of hope to me as people witness to us as sisters. I'm like, oh my gosh, even when we're struggling in sin, when we're running in the other direction, mm-hmm. Jesus is constantly presenting himself to souls to choose him again and again. Mm-hmm. And to have hope in that and to ask, for Jesus' faithfulness, but to ask for those that we love to be more open to that, but that God is never on standby and kind of like, you know, looking at his clock, waiting for us to open up. He's constantly presenting himself to us. Mm. It's just so encouraging.
It's so hopeful. Yeah. Mm. I couldn't agree more. I remember Ernest Hemingway has written a book called The Capital. It was just a little short story, The Capital of the World. Have you read it?
I know. You're good with literature.
I haven't read that one.
And it was of a father who, like, so his son, you know, left, kind of like the prodigal son kind of story. And he couldn't find his son, and he looked everywhere and couldn't find him. And his last resort was he wrote a little article in the newspaper, and it said, it was set in Spain, and it said, Paco, meet me at this hotel at noon. You're forgiven, love, Papa, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, on a Tuesday. So Paco's dad goes to the hotel on Tuesday, and there's crowd control. There is like 800 Pacos who wow. read a little, you know, article in the newspaper and wanted to be forgiven from his father. And I just thought, you know, isn't that beautiful? Like, we all want to be forgiven, or we all want some attention from our parents, you know, and the most perfect attention is that constant prayer for our children.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful, it's a little short story, really, really beautiful. But I thought, oh, it's so true. We all just want that, you know, we want Paco's dad, our Lord, to forgive us. It's we're all searching for that. Anyway, so can you tell us a little bit of your story, Sister Veritas? I'm gauging that it's quite interesting.
Yeah,
we have a lot more in common than you realize.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just briefly, I'm Canadian, so born in Canada, so Western Canada. I always say where I'm from, it's so cold in the winter that you have to plug your car in because the oil will freeze.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's go back to my Denver saying it's freezing.
I've grown soft, you know.
Yeah.
But so I just grew up in kind of a normal Catholic family. We didn't know a ton about the faith and went to Mass on Sundays, but that was kind of it. But I was in sixth grade when I felt the Lord on my heart calling me to be a sister. And this kind of came from nowhere, just, you know. And I was like, no, that's crazy. Like, who does that? No, no, no. So I pushed God away I pushed the call away for a long time. And and then just kind of went through a deeper kind of conversion in middle school. And my parents were going through a deeper conversion and just saw this new light in them. And I wanted that. And I just started to read all the books they had bought and go to adoration with them. And like, I was really captured and seized by the beauty of truth. Mm-hmm. And my heart was like burning by truth. And then also my heart was kind of like opened when my mom had my little sister for me, it was an unexpected pregnancy because I was 14 and yeah. I didn't think my mom was for kids. So, but she totally broke up, opened my heart in love in a profound mm-hmm. way. So that really shaped me deeply. Okay. And I just went to college, studied biology and English literature. And this whole time I'm pushing away the call and, but growing it, like deepening in my faith and really praying from my heart, really, really for the first time in college, I think university, sorry, that's what we say in Canada, but in America. So,
and but really university in Canada.
Yeah. University, but you all say uni. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we don't say that, but I think it's cool. I was in uni and and just really the call became stronger and stronger. And finally I just had this moment of surrender and like, Lord, if this is what you want for me, like, okay, I'll be a sister. Like I'm 100% in, and just this peace and this joy that I had mm-hmm. never experienced before. Mm-hmm. I felt more myself in that moment of surrender than I ever felt before. Mm-hmm. And so, just so much joy and peace. And it's funny. My friend had gone to World Youth Day Australia in 2008, and she had met the Sisters of Life there. And she came back and told me, she's like, "Oh my gosh, I met these nuns. I could totally see you as one of them." And I was like, oh, "Who does she think she is?" It's like so.
Did she know your thoughts?
No, it was classified information. Cool. I hadn't told anybody. So it's like movement of the spirit. But I looked them up and it was like, wow, this is my heart. And I was just so, I was so deeply invested in the beauty of the human person and the dignity of life. And it was, mm-hmm. the Lord just really led me to this community. So mm-hmm. I entered right after uni and just it's been a beautiful, a gift and adventure of love. So
how beautiful. So you can see there in your story, the little, nods from our Lord, this year six, then your mom has a little baby, new life. There's this opening of, valuing life. And then where you are now, a sister of life. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's actually funny because I remember when I lived in Australia for the year, I was 9, turned 10. I remember vividly praying, like, please, can we have another baby? Wow. And he didn't, then he eventually answered my prayer, five years later, which changed my life. But isn't that, cool. I have vivid memories of being that's an Australian awesome. Praying.
An
that.
Australian prayer. Yeah. Did you say it with an Australian accent?
No, I wish.
She did in her head.
They say if you pray in Australian accents, it's more powerful.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
I got to work on that.
You wait till next week.
I know. Yeah, bring all your biggest dreams.
All my biggest dreams. I've been trying to do an Aussie accent for a while. It's hard.
She sounds mostly British.
I sound go British.
On. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
I can't.
I love it.
It's hard. I just want to say.
You'll have 10 days.
I'll have 10 days. I'll really marinate. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That's very funny. All right. Okay, where should we go from here? What we forgot to do? We forgot to pray. So we'll have to pray at the end. Well, is there anything that you would like to say, or would you like to give a little word of encouragement for the women of Australia? I think there are some coming from not just from Sydney. So
fantastic.
New South Wales, there's some from Brisbane that would love to come down. I'm not sure if they're coming, but is there a word of hope, a word of encouragement that you would like to give the ladies of Sydney?
Many. I think the first thing on my heart, one, we'd love to see everybody next week. but God can do marvelous things with an open heart. And I think not only an open heart, but a willing heart, God doesn't need necessarily pious prayers all the time. He actually just wants you in a very particular and personal way. And Yeah, there's times in our life when we're aware of our desires and we want more. And even the desire for more is an inspiration from God. So I would just say, we'd love to see you, anyone and everyone, while we're there. But the truth is that when our heart is open and we're desiring Jesus, he comes. So I would just encourage you to just be real with Jesus, take his promises seriously, and don't be afraid to ask for miracles, mm-hmm. to ask for your biggest prayers, because it's God's job to answer them, and he does. But he often will wait and reverence our will and our desire to let him come. Mm-hmm. Just an encouragement to not be afraid to turn your heart to Jesus even now and just say, Jesus, I want, I need, Jesus, save me. Mm-hmm. And he's delighted by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I would just mm-hmm. add that there's mm-hmm. nothing too much for him. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing in our past, whether that be a sin. And we work a lot with women who have suffered after abortion. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing too much for him. His love and mercy is infinite. It's bigger than any sin or darkness. So just to not be afraid, that he's never stopped looking at you with love. He never will. Mm-hmm. And just to come to him and let him look at you, let him love you, let him call your name, let him hold you, rest in his love. You know, we don't have to be afraid of him. Mm-hmm. All he wants to do is heal us and set us free. So mm-hmm. I think, just to not be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. After hearing Father Chris whinging to God about not having catechumens and then getting four, I said, okay, I want extravagant love. Shower me with your extravagant love. And he never disappoints.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And at times he'll answer, you know, sometimes in unexpected ways or what could seem as a delay. But the truth is, God is always answering us, always answering us. Like, God is constantly communicating himself to us. And even as women, like, we're created it's not just for the religious. Like, the human heart is created to be in communion with Jesus Christ at every moment of our days. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that, like, this is not a burden, this is not, there's nothing wrong with me. It's like, I'm actually created for intimacy and communion with a God who knows me better than I know myself, who understands me. Mm-hmm. Has more love for me than any other human person can give me in this world. And my heart is created for it, to not be afraid to seek that in God and ask him, to deliver what he's promised to us. And I think as women, we need to get serious about our desires, because God put them in and he intends to fulfill them mm-hmm. Forever in heaven, but even now, and we can, we can get real and authentic, as he said, like, from the little things, to wanting more catechumens, to wanting my children to come back to church, to wanting healing in my marriage, to old shames or regrets that we've been dragging around our whole life long, to dreams that we've never looked into because we're too afraid of, all that stuff. Jesus is interested in it, and he can actually do something about it. Mm-hmm. So just not to be afraid to turn to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, powerful. Thank you. All right, shall we pray? Yeah. Oh. After the prayer, I'll ask you something that brought you joy, okay? So let's.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we praise you and bless you. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your gaze of love upon us at every moment, for holding us in being, for calling our name, for loving us with all the fullness of your heart. Jesus, I just ask right now that you pour your Holy Spirit down upon us. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Cover us in your precious blood. Jesus, I ask that you unleash in us all the fruits and gifts of your Spirit, as you did your disciples at Pentecost, Lord. Lord, you said and through the prophet Isaiah that, see, you are doing a new thing. Lord, I ask that you come and do a new thing in our hearts, our lives, our families. Now, breathe your Spirit. Lord, you have made us for yourself. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are restless till they rest in you. Jesus, I just ask for every woman listening right now to this podcast, for every need and intention of her heart, that she can know deeply that she is good. She is precious in your eyes. That she is your beloved daughter, that you desire so profoundly to be in relationship with her. There's nothing in her life that that will make you stop loving her, that you are pursuing her, fighting for her heart every moment. But I just pray for an unleashing of powerful prayer in each of our hearts, especially this Easter season.
Yeah, we just ask, especially Mother Mary, we ask you to give us hearts like yours. You knew how to stay open to Jesus, and we just ask you, Mary, teach us how to do that. We don't know how to do that. We struggle to do that. So we just ask you to help us keep our hearts open to receive the gift of God's love that is unceasingly available to us. And we just ask you, Mother Mary, to be a mother to us. Teach us this way, protect us, guide us, and awaken us to the desires that God has put in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, sisters. I need a tissue now. That was so beautiful. So before we wrap up, I need to ask you something that brought you joy this week. Sister Mary Grace, would you like to go first?
Wow.
Anything.
This week, man, how do you nail it down?
It's Easter tide, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot.
You can pick two things. I'll let you. I'll go first. Well, mine was I finally got a beehive.
Congratulations. Really? That's awesome.
I've always wanted one.
Me too. Beautiful. Yep. So I finally got a beehive, and I was so excited to go and get the bees because you've got to buy a nuke and the queen. But they said, it's not good now. We're coming into winter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I have to wait until spring. Anyway, I have the beehive, I have the bee suit, the smoker, everything. I'm ready to rock and roll when spring comes.
Well, that's awesome.
That's so exciting.
That is a cause for joy, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, living out here in Denver, we're kind of like one of the furthest west convents. So there's five of us here, but we kind of rarely ever see other sisters from our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently, on Monday, we celebrated like our big kind of like community celebration is Annunciation. Thank you. Yeah, which is this past Monday. So it's kind of like a big party day in the convent, both liturgically and festively. But we had two sisters that came and joined us from New York. And it was such an awesome homecoming, to be honest, to have two sisters that we hadn't seen for so long. So we went all out and we watched All Creatures Great and Small. We went skiing. It was we sang. What else did we do?
The liturgy.
Yeah. We prayed hard. But it was actually such a resurgence of joy in my own heart to see sisters that have become friends. And even if you share one day together, just the priceless gift it is to be together. As we live at distance at times. So I've been surprised by the joy of friendship in religious life. So that was another reminder on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How lovely.
Yeah. Sorry, I took the highlight.
No, I know. I guess mine is general. I agree with sister. I think it's just the joy of community life and friendship with your sisters. And I think one particular joy this year is like we've been singing a lot and praising a lot. And one of our sisters is really gifted at writing songs. And so we actually just have made it a point to like basically every week is praise together and sing together. And that's been just such a joy. And I'm just thinking about the priest who came for our Easter Triduum, gave like these epic, awesome homilies, which just brought so much joy. Mm-hmm. But one quote he had, he said, the space of the spirit is friendship. Mm-hmm. And actually just, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Then just looking at the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospels, and that's really true. So I think, that's just brought a lot of heart, joy to my heart, friendship with the Lord and with my sisters. And it's awesome.
And singing.
Yeah.
In my head, I had singing or the beehive, and I thought, I'll go beehive.
Awesome.
Singing is one of my two. My girls, we just sing all the time. And now they ask me, Mum, what, used to be their music, and I would have all my worship music to myself. And now they're asking, Mum, what song would you like on? What worship song would you like to play? Oh, okay, we can sing it together. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
So beautiful. All right. Well, I'll see you girls next week. Can't wait. I will list all the details in the show notes.
Okay. Awesome.
That'd be great. Well, good to be with you.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Yeah.
God bless.
All right. God bless you.